Welcome to Pauly Malignaggi. From Brooklyn to the world.
Proudly representing his hometown of Brooklyn, New York.
Pauly Malignaggi takes you inside the ring and beyond.
I'm definitely far from shy. We're going to be ranting about a lot of stuff. Not just about boxing. I'm opinionated on life in general. Many sports topics and politics.
Pauly doesn't hold back.
The two-time world champion, Pauly the Magic Man.
Pauly Malignaggi, Peter Cars, Brooklyn to the world. We're back. We're back. And Peter Cars, what episode are we on now?
54.
54. You used to answer these questions so confidently, like you knew what episode we were on. I don't get it. What's the question? You're asking me or am I asking you what episode we're at?
I'm actually a little flustered.
He's actually right.
I'm right?
Yeah.
Good. It sounded like a guess, but I was right all along.
What are the numbers getting too high for you to count to, bro?
Huh?
54. You gotta get sounds confidently. 54.
I know.
Otherwise, I'm gonna start deferring to Seth for what number episode we're at. No, Seth.
Sure. Yeah. Seth always knows. He's a cheater too. He checks his phone.
I don't know.
He's a fact checker. He likes a fact check.
Yeah. Well, apparently he just fact checked the fact that you
said that I was right.
What do you say? I like fat chicks.
Listen, there's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, all right.
Fat bitches need love too, Craig. Yeah, I'm saying I was a little flustered. The Locks were just in here using the same studio. Jada Kiss was just sitting in your chair.
Was he?
Well, yeah, yeah. I took a picture with him.
Except that it's not my chair today.
Right. Jada Kiss's chair today.
What are you in a beach chair?
Well, I'm down at South Beach.
Yeah.
Apparently, we're not getting any rain today, any sun today, or just rain. Well, South Beach is one of the rare places on Earth where you can actually have a cloudy, rainy day, still go outside and start sweating.
Oh, yeah, of course.
It blows me away. I go outside, and it'll be raining on me, but I'll be sweating.
Yeah,
so
it's like...
the rain mixes with the sweat, I guess.
That's like when you take a shower and you don't have a fan in the bathroom. When you get out of the shower...
Yeah,
you instantly still like wet and sweaty and disgusting.
Exactly. Boom. Exactly.
It makes you want to jump back in and not come out.
Just pull down, of course. Yeah. So what's going on? So we got to talk about some boxing last week. What was on the agenda last week? What we have we didn't have too many big cards. We had a Dusty Harrison and Mike Dallas, correct?
Yes, Dusty Harrison card. I was there. DC. Junior Yunan, the young god, my young fighter was on that card. Pretty good fights. It started off like the first three fights were first round knockouts, including Junior's. But Junior was good. He had a last minute replacement. One guy pulled out, and they tried to get another guy, and he couldn't pass his medical, so they flew a guy in. And it happens.
How many fights does he have now?
So 9-0. He's 9-0 with 7 knockouts.
Nice. So he's moving along slowly but surely.
Right.
And, I'm sure he'll be back in the ring pretty soon after.
Yeah, I'm thinking that it might be Andre Ward's next card, which I think is in Oakland again, July 30th. But don't quote
July 30th. Boom. Nice one. So we got Barclays Center that night. We have Santa Cruz and Frampton.
And right.
And on HBO, we got Andre Ward's next fight. Boom. Very nice. HBO. And you love the fact that there's like two cards the whole summer, but HBO and Showtime got to figure out a way to put them on the same night.
Right.
Right.
Best yeah, that makes sense.
Paulie, I got breaking news.
What do you got?
Heavyweight King Tyson Fury is offering 15% of himself to the highest bidder on eBay. He's selling part of his career. He said it comes with a...
What does it come with?
It comes with... Wait, it says here. 1 second. Sorry, give me... I just saw it.
When you get 15% of his purses?
Somebody linked me in that. I don't even know what the fuck that means.
It refers to something to do with his future earnings.
His 15% of his future earnings?
Yeah, like a... this is weird.
He's selling it for like $20,000 or something.
Yeah, I think... $20,000? The highest bid has leapt from 106 pounds to 5,100 pounds.
That's totally ludicrous. I mean, does it include the Vladimir Klitschko fight? Because in reality, the Vladimir Klitschko fight alone, you'll make more than $20,000.
You make your money back.
I think he's just doing it to, because
he's
a goofball.
Just annoying, man. That's what I'm saying. He annoys me.
There's probably like some kind of loophole he's got there. There's no way the guy's going to sell 15% of himself for $20,000 with the kind of money he's making. I mean, it's just, it's totally ludicrous. He would be going backwards.
He's a weirdo, bro. I don't know. It just, he rubs me the wrong way in so many ways.
Well, yeah, hopefully both of those guys will be gone soon.
What's he going to be
Fury
worth?
Fury and Klitschko will be, well, they won't be in the heavyweight picture
if
for long.
If he happens to be Klitschko again.
You guys are totally fucking mean right now, dude. I mean,
but wait, if he...
Let him live, dude.
Right.
Let him live.
I don't want him to die or anything.
No, I don't want him to die either. I just want him to put a fucking muzzle on.
He wants to sell himself on eBay. Hey, go ahead. It's a free country. It's a free world.
But the thing is, it's not if it doesn't include this Klitschko fight...
Guys,
it's not worth it because he doesn't have much of a future afterwards.
Guys, do you understand the fucking days that we're living in today? Do you understand that Hillary Clinton might become the president of the United States of America?
Don't even say that out loud.
The disaster that might be, and you guys are worrying about Tyson Fury selling himself on eBay. Do you understand we got much bigger problems in our lives?
Well, you have a problem if you think...
Selling himself on eBay. That's not going to be a problem for anybody except Tyson Fury if he sells himself on eBay. If Hillary Clinton becomes president, we all got problems.
I hear you, but you're the only one that thinks Hillary's going to win.
Well, I hope she's not. But I'm certainly not pulling for her, that's for sure.
We're going to make America great again. You know that already.
Oh boy,
the wall's going up. You know who's paying for the wall.
Oh god.
Speaking of which, it's so funny. I was in DC, right, Seth? Did I send you the picture or no?
No.
Okay.
No
so,
picture.
So wait, I'm in DC.
What Lincoln?
The Lincoln. So I'm hanging out and we're at the weigh-in, and the weigh-ins fucking take forever. Between the DC commission being ass backwards, they want you there at 10 o'clock when the weigh-in's at 1, but they don't do the paperwork until after you get on the scale. So I don't know. But so that happens, right? And with air, I'm agitated. I feel like one of the fighters. I want to go fucking eat, you know. And a kid, Mike, comes up to me. He's a local guy from there, and he works with Dusty Harrison in the main event, and he works with this kid Sam Crossed. Sam was a talented linebacker in high school, and his whole defensive line, like a majority of them, made it to the NFL. Actually, forget about college;
wow.
They all went to college, but some of them made it to the NFL. And he just, you know, messing around. He's a kid that likes to have fun. I guess he didn't take it as serious, and he kind of flunked out and stopped playing ball, and he took up boxing. And he fought that night also, so he was at the weigh-in. And his nickname is the Vanilla Gorilla. Oh, it's hysterical.
That's a great name.
He sells like $10,000 worth of seats. He's only got two. He just had his third fight. And his guy, Mike, who helps him out, comes up to me, and he's like, "Hey, Pete, I love the podcast. You guys are great." And I'm like, "Oh, thanks a lot, man." And he's like, "Oh, we made these hats." So I'm like, "What hats?" And he goes, "Make boxing great again." So I'm like, "Get the fuck out." I'm like, "Bro, I want one." He's like, "Yeah, I got one in the car for you." And
I'm not wearing it right now.
I know. I was at work. It's a red hat, so it looks like the Trump Make America Great Again.
That's
with
great.
White lettering, but it says Make Boxing Great Again. And he gave me one, so big shout out to Mike. That whole team is funny, man.
Big shout out to Mike, and we do have to make boxing great again somehow. I don't know what the movement is going to be.
Speaking of which, boxing wasn't great that night. I love Dusty. I think he's a great kid. He's a real humble kid, but
but he was lucky to get away with a draw.
Oh my God!
Well, you were talking about the DC commission already not being too small with the way they handle weigh-ins. Would you expect them to understand how to judge fights too? I mean, now you're giving them too much credit, buddy. I mean,
well, we're judging the fight. And then the ref. And the ref has been around, so it doesn't matter where he's from. I don't remember his name. Big black guy. He looks like he has the, like, you know, in Don King in the Tyson movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, he has, like, that kind of hairstyle.
All right.
But,
go ahead. So what happened?
No, he
buddy, on this show, if you're going to criticize referees, we need their names. If you're going to criticize judges, we need their names. That's just how we do. We put people on play.
Which fight?
Telling us the guy that was the referee that didn't do a good job doesn't actually help anybody's cause.
Dustin Harrison versus Mike Dallas Jr.
Oh.
This Al fact checker is going to check. So Dusty hits Mike Dallas with a low blow. Everyone could see it was low. Dallas Jr. reacts as if it's a low blow instantly and goes down and is like holding his sack. And he comes to the surprise that he's being counted. So, I mean, the ref was criminal, in my opinion. Well, it's ridiculous, and it always happens. And the guy's been around. Seth is going to check up his name. But other than that, I mean, it really was. It was a good fight. Dusty was cut right from round one and fought through because he's just a tough kid and made it a fight. But even at the end, when you think, oh, Dusty has a chance, he's going to pull it off, Mike Dallas was like, hell no, man. Like, I'm going to keep putting my foot on the gas pedal, and I'm going to keep...
Well, Mike Dallas has been around, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's always been that fringe type of prospect contender who couldn't quite get through to the big time, but he's always been very capable. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think he's got some losses to some pretty good names. I mean, I think if I'm not mistaken, did he beat Josito Lopez or Josito beat him? I think he fought Josito Lopez.
I think he lost to him, and he lost to Matisse.
He got stopped by Matisse in one round. That worked the fight.
Yeah.
But of course, Matisse hits you. The fight's over at any point. He hits you, so that's almost like forgivable, even, you know. But Dallas, you know, he's been a pretty good fighter, and he's been around for a little while, you know. And you know, obviously, it was probably a step up to a veteran for Dusty, and you know, that's what happens. I mean, you got to get your feet wet eventually. You know, you get these wins, you have the prospect. You know, you start beating these opponents, and you beat these better opponents, and then eventually you start getting to, like, you know, guys who are looked at as faded contenders or maybe fringe contenders and whatnot. And although they may be fringe or faded, they still have those tricks up their sleeve, and they still have that tenacity within them. And obviously, Dusty found out. You know, I'd love to see a rematch, obviously, because I feel like Mike Dallas deserves a chance to get a W that he deserved last week. But also, you know, I think of my buddy Saddam Ali. I think Saddam Ali and Dusty Harrison will be a good fight, too.
Hey, the referee is Malik Waleed.
Malik Waleed, right on. Good for Malik. So, So we're, you know, I'm just thinking, like, you know, it'll be a good crossroads fight with Dusty Harrison and, you know, Saddam, of course, or Mike Dallas in the middle of, against either of them as well, because I think Mike Dallas raised his stock even in the fact that he didn't get the win he deserved. So it could be, just some possible little fights I'm thinking off the top of my head as we have this conversation, you know what I mean?
Yeah, those are actually great fights when you think about it.
I got a question for you, champ.
Go ahead.
Just one more thing about Tyson Fury, and this is more serious, not goofy. He said he's 40 pounds out what he wants to lose for July 9th fight, and here we are, we're going to be May 18th right now. And he's got 44 pounds to go, and he's having a lot of trouble getting worked over and sparring by a light heavyweight. Do you see that? I mean, I know you're not a heavyweight, but obviously you are a boxing pundit. You are an expert analyst. What do you? You're astute. You sure are. You sure are, pal, as you like to say.
Thanks.
What do you think that you think, like, he's doing a little Buster Douglas, like not taking it as serious, and, like, you know, or do you think he has enough time to that, like, that's not that big of a deal?
First off, when it comes to Tyson Fury, you never know if the word out of camp is tongue in cheek or if it's for real. You know, the fact that he's so heavy and he's getting worked over, who really knows if that is even happening? You know, why would they be so open about that if that's really happening? You know, so I take that tongue in cheek with Tyson Fury's camp because you never know, bro. I mean, the guy might actually be training his ass off and might be in great shape, and we don't know. You know, because Tyson Fury is such almost a goofy character. And I don't even say that in an insulting way. He's such a character that he almost like gets off on getting a rise out of people, and he may even get a rise out of people by, you know, poking fun at himself at times. You know, and in that case, you know, by saying he's fat and out of shape, but maybe he's not even fat and out of shape. Who even knows? I mean, maybe he is. Honestly, I don't even know how to rate Tyson. He's such a guy who's so hard to figure out at times. You know, so I don't know. But if he in fact is that heavy, the good thing about being a heavyweight is you don't have to make a certain weight. You know, you just got to get in shape. So you want to lose 44 pounds in 2 months. I doubt he's going to lose 44 pounds in 2 months. But he'll show up, and hopefully he's in shape regardless.
of what he weighs. But, yeah, you think of Buster Douglas when he knocked out Tyson. He weighed 230 to 231, and then he fought Holyfield 8 or 9 months later, and he weighed like 248 or 249. So it was a major difference. And heavyweights have, though, maybe they don't have to make a weight, but heavyweights do have their prime weight where they feel at their best when they're at that weight. And so you hope that Tyson comes in at the weight that he's feeling best at. But honestly, I don't put too much stock into that, because Tyson might show up and actually he might be lying about the whole thing, and he might be actually in great shape.
He's shown his stomach on TV. It's pretty big. You know what? If he drank some Organifi, that might help him.
Organifi would help. I believe it would.
Yeah.
It's helping me. I'm losing a couple.
You do
pounds.
Look good, dude.
Are you losing weight, Pete?
Yeah, in my ankles.
What are we, we're 6 weeks away?
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun. So remember.
The problem with Pete is he drinks Organifi with his wine. That's the problem.
Right.
Well, all right. For those of you who really want to be serious, Organifi is great for boosting energy, easing stress, erasing belly fat. It's like getting your greens and everything without having to juice it or buy the veggies or anything else. It totally helps.
It's awesome.
It's like getting your greens without getting your greens.
Right.
Right. Not spending too much green to get your greens.
Right.
Huh?
Boom.
Like that? I did. That was mine. That wasn't
off
on the paper.
Top of the head. That was great.
Off the top of my bald head.
Right.
I used to have hair. I used to be pretty. No shopping, no juicing, no blending, no cleanup. The best tasting greens on the market, on the planet. You've had it. Paulie's had it. I've had it. It tastes really good. They know how to make it a little sweet, so it's easy to go down, and they feel like you're healthy.
That's the biggest thing,
yes.
Right?
And it's everything that Pete is not, as we've said every week. It's organic, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. As a man, just a little tip for you men out there. Do not eat soy. It promotes estrogen growth in your body. So keep it low on the soy.
That's when you get the nips.
Man boobs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not only that, it promotes soy and it eliminates your testosterone levels. It lowers them.
Boom. See?
Which then makes you tired and makes you not as energized.
Is that what my problem is?
It's like the opposite of a PED, which we got to get into later. But the special ingredient is ashwagandha. Shown in clinical studies to lower cortisol, which is the fat storage hormone, increases energy and improves mental focus. Listeners to our show can get 20% off by going to www.organifi.com. That's ORGANIFI.com. And the coupon code is...
Paulie.
Paulie, PAULIE.
M.
M.
PAULIE.
M. Paulie M.
Oh, is it Paulie M?
Paulie M.
Man, these guys are confusing me now. Sometimes it's Paulie, sometimes it's Paulie M. All right.
You'll be all right. Yeah,
PAULIE M.
Yes, listeners get an extra 20% off. Organifi.com. Enter Paulie M. Do it.
Do it. Do it.
Do it. Do it now.
Stay green.
That's
go
why everybody
green.
Looks good
do
down
it.
the South Beach, as you like to say, because they're all drinking Organifi.
In the wonderful South Beach, of course. Yes. Yeah, everybody comes in shape in South Beach.
So
you don't want to show up in South Beach too out of shape, you know. You don't. Peter Claus is getting in shape because after he gets married, hopefully he'll make a stop in South Beach himself. You know,
he's gonna have a baby within a year.
You think so?
That's my prediction.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Speaking of babies, you know what today is?
What is it?
Tyson's birthday, my little puggle.
Oh, I saw it on Facebook.
3 years old.
you talk about Tyson, I'm thinking Mike Tyson. I'm like, dude, Mike Tyson's birthday is next month.
Yeah, Tyson.
No. Tyson the dog.
Iron Mike Tyson's birthday.
Who waits for Tyson the dog's fucking... I thought it was last night, first of all. Wasn't it today? How many days is his birthday going to be?
After midnight, dipshit. That's when I text you.
Whoa. This is serious.
After midnight.
Yep.
All right.
Don't I text you at 12:01 when it's your birthday?
Oh, that's nice.
You did. So did you wish Tyson happy birthday?
I'm actually gonna go. Well, I got a busy day today. After the podcast, we're going to see Giancarlo Panichi. He's DJing Panichi. My wedding. I got to sit down with him and Alyssa.
Can I give you some songs for the wedding?
Yeah. I need a playlist. Nice. And he's gonna handle all that good stuff. He DJ'd my engagement party already. We know what we're getting with him.
Love lifts awesome. Us up where we belong.
And then we'll have a little, maybe some cake for Tyson. I'll let him pig out.
Oh, jeez.
And then I'll let him go...
poop all over your house.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, can we get into like the elephant in the room now? Not you, Pete. Can we get into the Deontay Wilder the mess? And Paulie, I'm asking you because you're working this card. I don't know what's going on now with it. Can you let us know what's happening and like when you found out and you know?
Absolutely, nothing is happening. We were trying to get my visa straight now to go to Russia, and now instead I'm going to Las Vegas for the Vanis and Lara fight this weekend. We were going to do a split site fee where I was going to go to Russia and then we're going to go to Las Vegas. Then, before they even canceled the fight, they were saying, you know what, we're not going to be able to get the visas together in time because it's getting kind of complicated. So we're all going to go to Vegas and we're going to call the fight in the afternoon in Vegas in the truck, and then we'll have the broadcast later in the night with Vanis and Lara and the rest of the fights. So that was the plan, and that was the way we were going to do it, you know? I was going to get paid a little more money, too, because there's two shows. Kind of psyched about that. And then we got the bombshell. Alexander Povetkin tested positive for meldonium or meldonium. I don't know how to pronounce this thing. It's the same drug that Maria Sharapova failed maybe a couple of months ago. Apparently it is a drug that helps you with your endurance, which in boxing and in all sports for the most part, aside from golf, you know, you'd probably need this endurance, these kind of endurance drugs to make you better if you in fact plan on cheating. And so the weird thing about it is this. Meldonin, I guess because it's relatively new, I don't know, or maybe these drug fighting organizations are starting to catch up onto these other substances. Meldonin was legal up until last year. But as of January 1st of this year, it was illegal. So WADA, which is the World Anti-Doping Agency, actually made a ruling because too many people were failing, I guess. They said anybody who tests positive for small amounts of meldonium before being tested, when they're tested before March 1st, so if you pass the January 1st threshold and you still fail for meldonium, but it was a small amount before March 1st, then you would be given a pass. After March 1st, I guess there's no excuses for it to not clear your system. And so you won't get a pass, obviously. So Alexander Povetkin was caught with a very small amount of meldonium in his system. The problem with Alexander Povetkin's amount of meldonium is, yeah, it would have been trace amounts. Had he been caught before March 1st, it would have been okayed. But here's the weird thing about Povetkin's fail. He passed a couple of tests before he actually failed it, which means he was probably thinking he could sneak in some small amounts into his system and then maybe it not show up. Because how do you go from not showing up and then when you test it later on, it shows up? I mean, it's not a disappearing, reappearing drug. You know what I mean?
No, it's ridiculous.
So apparently, Povetkin probably thought if he took it in small enough doses, maybe it wouldn't show in his system. But the WADA people are a strong testing organization, and they were able to catch him. And when you do that, that's all she wrote. It's a wrap. I mean,
sounds like a real fucking genius.
It costs you money.
Well, here's the thing: it costs me money, but I would be pretty selfish to say that, you know, if I'm complaining about my money.
Still though, guy cheating.
Deontay Wilder is the guy you really
sure. Deontay Wilder was getting paid almost $5 billion for the fight. Guys, I'm going to put this in perspective. You get a certain date. Forget about that you're fighting on that date. You get a certain date. By this so-and-so date, you're going to get a check for this amount of money, whatever it is. Okay? Forget the fight for a second. You start to bank on the check itself. You know, because when you're fighting on that date, you know you are also getting this amount of money that on that night. Okay? And this amount of money, you start making plans for it, even investment plans. I'm not even talking about fun plans. I'm talking about, you know, you start looking at different moves you're going to make with this money, investments, houses. You know, just you start to almost have the money in your mind already and plan on making those moves with this money. And when it's $5 million, there's a lot of things you probably have planned to do with it. You know what I'm saying? And then suddenly you're not even getting 5 cents.
Right.
A week before your fill goes to receive a $5 million check, you're not getting not even 5 cents.
You actually lost money because it's training camp and everything.
Yeah, you actually lost money. You know what I'm saying? It's bananas. Bananas. It's crazy. It must be so frustrating. It's almost, you know, because you have the option to still take the fight. You almost have to, like, fight yourself off to not still take the fight. Because, you know, you won't give yourself your best chance of winning. But you have to leave the $5 million on the table now, you know?
Well, you and I had tweeted similar shit without even realizing. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, the thing is, you know, you fail a test like this, and again, if he came up clean and then came up dirty, there was a little mischievous, malicious intent there.
Of course. What didn't we realize, though?
No, we didn't. I didn't realize that you sent out almost the same tweet as I did. I sent mine out first. But the thing is,
oh, you almost got nut shocked, man.
Yeah,
you don't even realize.
It shouldn't be a postponement. It should be a cancellation, right? We both agree on that. I think.
Yes.
The Povetkin should get passed up.
Is the problem? Go ahead.
Yeah, I think Povetkin should get passed up. Now, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Being that we're Brooklyn guys and we have some street savvy, what's the guy's name? Rybinski, the promoter?
Yeah, Rybinski.
Rybinski. Do you think maybe that's why you didn't have your itinerary? Maybe that's why you didn't know what the venue was? Maybe that's why there's all these unanswered questions about the fight leading up, because maybe they had an idea that he might not pass, or that maybe he was up to something.
I don't think it's that, because in Rybinski's mind, he's making like it's trace amounts, and this fight's not going to get canceled. It's going to just be postponed, and he's going to fight it in court and whatnot. I mean, I don't see how any judge with a brain would allow this fight to still happen. I mean, the guy deserves to be eliminated from the rankings and have to start over again. And that's the bottom line. There's no other way. As far as Rybinski playing games with all the setup, I don't think it was that. I just think he was playing games because it's a macho thing with them. Like, oh, you know what? I won the purse bid. I do things my way, and that's it. I do things on my own time, and that's it. And he was being a little bit difficult.
Well, he has that now. He can do whatever he wants. I don't know if his fight is going to be involved in anything, but he's actually going to have his hands pretty full. I saw a tweet from Deontay saying, "Have my $4.6 million ready, or else there's a lawsuit." So,
yeah. Well, of course, that's actually, if you're going to talk about court, Deontay actually has more of these, because it's like I just said. I mean, you figure you're about to get your money in a week. I mean, a week, not $100, not $200. You're going to get $4.6 million in a week, and then suddenly you're not getting it.
If I know I'm getting $500 in a week, I'm like, fuck yeah, what am I going to do with that? You know what I mean? Yeah.
Gamble.
Right.
Yeah. Duh.
That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to, do I give half to the bookie from what, you know, the past? Do I just roll the 500 and try to make a living for myself? You know, I got to really think about what to do. But it is an obstacle that you have to cross, and you have to think about what you're going to do with this money. Now, I could only imagine getting a $4.6 million. I wouldn't know what to do with myself. But to then not get anything, and you've already spent money on training camp, it fucking sucks.
Yeah, of course. So Rybinski, I don't know. Here's the situation now. This is where WBC has to stand firm now, because this is where we're talking about bleeding between the lines and whatnot. You don't know what Rybinski is doing with Mauricio Suleiman, or if he's trying to get in his ear and trying to corrupt him and trying to get Mauricio to, you know, maybe, you know. You know, this is a guy with money. Guys with money that have influence.
Right. He's not sitting there cooking meatloaf. You never know what he's doing back there.
He's just hypothesizing. But, you know, is he going to try to influence Mauricio to do the right thing by him and basically make the fight postponed and not canceled? And by influencing, you know, you can use your imagination. You know, how would he try to influence Mauricio? And, of course, you know, we hope Mauricio stays strong and does the right thing by Deontay, because it's the right thing to do. No matter how rich Rybinski is, and no matter how much money he was going to put in everybody's pocket with this fight, with this bid and whatnot, you know, it's still a guy that now his fighter got caught cheating, so you cannot appease him. I'll go one further with you. I was privy to some kind of conversation with Lou DiBella telling, I forget who he was telling to, the person told me that basically when it was time to sign the contract for this fight was announced, but the contract still hadn't been signed. When it was time to announce the contract for this fight, Povetkin was still stalling on signing the contract. And the rumor was Povetkin was stalling to sign on the contract because drug testing would commence once the contract is signed. Like, literally, they should, I think they were going to sign the contract and be tested the same day.
you know. So you couldn't test him without him having the contract signed. So there was a little slight delay in Povetkin signing the contract, and the rumor was that he was trying to clear the steroids out of his system, which apparently, if that was the case, he did, because he passed the initial test that he took, he passed them. And then he probably tried to take small doses of it, and he failed it. You know, so there's a lot of rumors swirling around. I mean, I've heard steroids around Povetkin since the Mike Perez knockout. I mean, I've heard rumors swirling around. You know, again, we're in boxing. You hear the rumors, you hear the swirling going around. You know, people get mad because they're fans of certain fighters. Listen, man, if your fighter's a cheater, your fighter's a cheater, and that's it. You know what I'm saying? But I did hear some things about Povetkin since the Mike Perez knockout, you know, and that there was some suspicion on him with that. And of course, all he's done is win since, and now he's gotten to this point, and so now he fails this test. It's a bit weird. It's a bit suspicious. It makes you wonder how long has this been going on, and it's as usual, it's frustrating. You know what I'm saying? Because you try to. You know, you think you're watching sports where you're getting an even playing field, but you're not really getting an even playing field. You know, the way you're going to get an even playing field is if everybody does this shit, and that's fucked up because, you know, in a combat sport, you can't have everybody doing this shit. You got to try to eliminate it as much as possible for the safety of the human beings beating each other on the head.
And you made that point, Paulie. I mean, in baseball, a big deal. You hit a few more home runs, but in boxing, yeah, you can kill somebody.
It's way more than that, dude. They eliminate your ability to make a living. They eliminate your ability to make a living. If somebody's winning fight after fight after fight because he's on steroids and he's just doing things that just have not been seen before and just doing things that, whatever the case is, whether it's Povetkin or anybody else, whatever the case is, you are now taking all the attention away from a fighter who's clean, because a fighter who's clean cannot do those things. No matter how good he is, he cannot do those things. And then suddenly you're taking away all the attention from him and you're bringing it on to yourself as the cheater who's doing more because you're a phenomenon. So you're actually eliminating the ability of clean fighters to make a living. You don't even have to be in the ring with them to eliminate the ability of clean fighters to make a living. You just by you existing and cheating, you're already eliminating the ability of a clean fighter to do as much as you and therefore be paid attention to as much and make as money he deserves, he or she deserves. And so it's such a cesspool, bro. It's such a cesspool. It's crazy, bro. And like when you end up having year-round drug testing in all these sports, you start to see the cesspool start to clean up, and you start to like fish out all the cheaters, and whoever was cheating and doesn't get caught has to stop now. And you see their numbers drop regardless, like you did in baseball, where okay, maybe not everybody got caught, but suddenly everybody knew they had to stop regardless. And you see home run numbers just totally dip.
Paulie, baseball is like they've caught like 10 to 15 guys this season already.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Yeah. As strong as the baseball testing is, guys are still trying to swirl their way around it. You know what I'm saying? But at least baseball's making an attempt. I don't know why people used to talk about cycling. Cycling is such a dirty sport. But no, it's not. Cycling is just the only sport that's actually making an attempt to catch everybody. And now baseball's doing it. So just because you get more failures means it's a dirty sport? No, it's actually a cleaner sport because you're still the only sport that actually make the attempt to have this kind of surveillance on this drug testing. You're going to have a constant mess if you don't do this. You're going to have a constant mess. And it's not going to get easier, and it's going to only get harder for people to make a living. And you're going to force more and more guys to actually do steroids. I'm telling you, these new generation of fighters, they will all be on steroids, and it's not even going to be fair to a lot of them, because some of them is not going to be by their own choice. They're going to have to do it. Otherwise, they're going to have to go get a 9-to-5 fucking job because they're not going to be able to actually compete with these other animals unless they do it as well. So what do you tell a kid who's coming up now? You know what? You either do this shit like everybody else, or the last 20 years of your life has been wasted. Now you can go get a job instead, because you're not going to make it in this fucking business. You know what I mean? Like, when you put a kid with no money in that position, what is he going to do? Even if he doesn't want to cheat, you know? So it's getting to the point where you're going to only make the cesspool worse unless somebody handles this and then cleans it up, and nobody is looking to clean it up. Nobody's actually looking to do anything. You know, I applaud WBC for endorsing Nevada testing for this fight, because WBC, I think, was paying for it. You know, it'd be good if there's a if he can at least keep moving things in that direction. But it's going to be very hard. Boxing is a worldwide sport without a worldwide organization that actually is organized enough to run everything. Anybody can be a professional boxer. It's not like soccer where you have FIFA, and even FIFA was very corrupt, but you have FIFA and it's a worldwide organization. Because not everybody can be a professional soccer player, a professional football player. You know, you actually have to be good enough. So it's easier to keep track of these guys. Granted, in boxing, you really want to keep track of the world-class guys. Because in reality, the guys who aren't world-class, they're not making enough money to afford these drugs. And they're not making enough money to afford, not only not afford these drugs, but also pay the people to administer them correctly. You know, you gotta random test the guys who reach a world-class level and who can now afford these kind of services, because that's where it is. I mean, a guy who's making $2 is looking to eat. He's not looking to put steroids in his body because he can't even afford them at that point. You know what I'm saying? So the risk factor is when you reach that world-class level, things start to change, and they start to change for the worse. And so you hope that things can get to a better point, or that somebody outlines some kind of strict testing. I mean, it's just like people use boxing as they remind me of just like politicians. You know what I mean? Like these politicians, they use boxing as like a way to make themselves look like, oh, they're trying to fix something up. Like just recently, I heard the New York State Athletic Commission got an overhaul, and they fired David Berlin. And I don't know what they're hiring, what they're doing. First of all, David Berlin's a good guy to have in the commission. He's a boxing guy and he's an intelligent guy. But also, like, what are you doing? Like, every once in a while they make an overhaul, you gotta clean up the sport, you gotta clean up everything. And like they actually don't do shit. They only make things worse every time.
Derek Schneiderman.
They really cared about making shit better, first of all. You pay attention to the things you're supposed to pay attention to. And random drug testing is the most important thing you should pay attention to. You know, so I don't know. For me, it's a waste of time. People just half-ass it in boxing. The people from the outside, the people in boxing, you know, they don't care. You know, do you think the promoter cares? If the promoter has the guy who's making $100 million and making his company and him money, he doesn't care if he's cheating. Are you kidding me? These people are animals. Not only are the fighters animals, but these promoters are animals. They don't even care because they're making the money. You got a guy who's making you all this money, you're not going to try to catch him. You're not going to try to get him off the drugs. Bob Arum, maybe Pacquiao avoided random steroid testing for 5 years, and Bob Arum got his back for 5 years. For 5 years, Bob Arum never actually said, you know what, man, it's up to Manny. Maybe, you know, I'm going to try to talk him into the testing. But no. Bob Arum actually took his back wholeheartedly. Why? Because Bob Arum was making millions and millions of dollars on this guy's back, who's probably cheating. So, you know, like, it's just a bunch of animals. They're literally a bunch of animals. Whether it's the fighter doing it or the people backing him, it's just a bunch of animals. And so you need such a major overhaul that it's like, I can't even see it. It's so far away. Like, you can't even see the light at the end of the tunnel. It's like, I guess it's a fucking cesspool. And it's such a turnoff. And you get it again in a major heavyweight title fight this past weekend. You get one of the guys cheating, who probably was cheating all along, honestly. But like I said, I mean, I haven't heard the rumors around Povetkin swallowing since the Mike Perez fight. So this wasn't like anything new. This has probably been going on for a while. It's just finally you got an organization that ran and tested him and said, so this guy just couldn't run clean like a Wild Wild West. He couldn't run free and just go pump himself up for whatever he wanted to. Now he actually abide by some rules or have the risk of abiding by some rules, and he got caught. You know, but in reality, had he not been caught, they caught traces of it. So had he not been caught, maybe we wouldn't have been able to factually say he's cheating. But honestly, like I said, I've heard the rumors around Povetkin for years already. So just because you wouldn't have caught him, it wouldn't have meant that he wasn't cheating anyway. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, no, we didn't think you were ever going to stop. But yeah, 100%.
Shut up.
Oh, so sorry. I might have put you guys to sleep, but yeah, I had to go on my little rant. That's the problem, yeah, being in the studio. See, I can't see you guys' reaction.
Yeah. No, but you know, when you did, it's, you're 100% right. And even like what you touched on a half hour ago when you started with the with the New York State Athletic Commission, David Berlin was a solid guy, and he was a fair guy. Now, like you say, you know, you look at things that are important. They put in a guy, Thomas Hoover, who he's worried about hanger honors or people getting in the back. You know, that's his way of cleaning up the sport.
Oh boy.
You know what I mean? Like, Who gives a fuck about that? Why don't you administer some more intense testing and really do something to where you can hang your head at night and say, I changed New York boxing. Not, first of all, getting David Blin out of there, because Thomas Hoover was probably part of that, because he probably wants his own team of people, and David Blin was there before him. And then, you know, again, his main concern is, oh, if you're fighting, it's the fighter plus three, and that's it. You know, like, that's his main concern. That's how he cleans up the sport.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, like, New York is a major commission. They're good enough to where they have to, they can actually, you know, probably enforce random testing for any major cards that are happening in the state, you know. They can probably enforce that.
Well, the problem is nobody has any fucking integrity. You know, I saw on Twitter yesterday, is this a joke? Floyd Mayweather's 49-0, Conor McGregor's 0-0. What commission would approve this? And I'm thinking in my head, what are you, nuts? What are you trying to say, like boxing has integrity? Vegas would jump all over that fucking... Are you kidding me?
Well, Muhammad Ali fought Antonio Inoki.
I got a tweet yesterday. Saying that I don't know, I was it was on my timeline. I forgot exactly what it said, because I was reading through some tweets yesterday, and it was like it linked Conor McGregor and it linked me, and it said McGregor, a video of McGregor sparring, like you're not even at he looks more like he's at the Paul Malignaggi level. Like, dude, I don't think these people understand. Like, dude, a guy 0-0 is probably not even at the level of a guy you haven't even seen box yet. You know what I'm saying? Granted, he's probably got some decent hand skills because of his MMA ability, but he probably can't even beat a fringe contender. So, like, put him in with Mayweather is extreme for me, but putting him in even with me is extreme for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not gonna compete in a boxing ring with boxing rules. And I'm a fan of Conor McGregor, but it's just not gonna happen, dude.
Take the fight, Paulie. Like, take the fight,
dude. I would allow you to spot him whatever weight he wants to fight at. How about that? Yeah. I watched the video, and I'm not going to sit there and just critique, because we know more than that. We're not just going to look at a little sparring video and whatever. But right off the bat, just knowing that he's an MMA guy, he's front foot heavy, because their balance is distributed differently. We all know that. He literally just thinks like he's going to counter when he wants and do what he wants to do. And that's easy when you're fighting MMA guys at stand-up. Because their main thing is wrestling or jiu-jitsu or even Muay Thai or kickboxing, in which their balance is different than fighters. He doesn't have a chance. It's stupid to even talk about. But their names together, it equals money, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's really all it comes down to. That's why there's even any sort of buzz about it, because of their names. He has no chance against a kid that just won the open class gloves. You know what I mean? Like, just think about you when you won the Nationals. You imagine Conor McGregor trying to hit you? Yeah, okay. Good luck.
Sure, but that, you talk about a sparring session. Like, do you understand, like, just in sparring alone, I mean, every gym I walk into, like, people, like, this is where, like, I guess I'm going to go off topic here, and I'm going to sound a little bit, like, arrogant even. Anytime I walk into a new gym, and this time it's been the Fifth Street Gym in Miami, people look at me once I spar and they're like, whoa, like, I come out of the ring and I can see everybody's reaction is different. Like, it happened to me when I went to Wild Card. It happens to me anytime I go to a new gym. And I'm like, I don't understand, dude. What do you think you're actually going to see? Like, I won two world titles. But do you think you're going to see something that anybody in the gym is going to be able to handle? Like, I don't understand where the wall was coming from. The wall should be coming when I walk into the gym to begin with. You know what I'm saying?
No, but you know what the problem is?
Or just act the same way, no matter what. And it's always in a friendly way. I'm not even saying this in a derogatory way. Everybody's really cool. Everybody's really nice. But the wall factor is always different after the fucking sparring. And it's after they've seen me spar. I mean, granted, then you get used to me, and if I always train in the same gym. But I remember it happened to be a Wild Card. It happened to be now a Fifth Street Gym. And it's just like, I don't know, dude, like, maybe you're reading too much of these internet gangsters, like, or maybe you're reading too much into these internet tweeters or keyboard warriors or whatever, but world-class fighters are world-class. World-class means they're on a different level than what you see day-to-day. Maybe you think you put on a tape and you might know boxing, but you probably don't. Your world-class level is, you see a world-class fighter training, sparring, it's a different level. It's not something you see every day.
So, of course, you're going to get the wolf factor. But maybe, like, your version of world class, maybe it might not be, like, what you actually think it is. I don't know. It always blows me away. That was actually kind of something surprising.
No, to be honest with you.
Because of the Conor McGregor sparring session now, too.
But, no, to be honest with you, if these were Twitter trolls seeing you in the gym, it would make sense. I think actual fighters see you in the gym and they even go whoa, because in a gym, I've always said this to everybody, you're more aggressive, you really go forward because you know you want to get the work and this and that, where in a fight there's a game plan and you know anything could happen with one punch, where in the gym you're more willing to try out new things, get more aggressive, take more risks. So I always said that to a lot of people, like, you come to the gym and you watch Paulie spar, it's not what you see, you know, on TV when he fights, you know, and that's why you've cleared out gyms. I've witnessed it, you know, when you clear out gyms and there's no sparring left.
So, yeah, but in this case, I'm actually out of shape, so I'm not taking any chances. I'm not trying to work any harder than I have to. I actually have to figure out ways to buy my time and just, like, I'm very savvy. I'm very tricky. I'm very...
Yeah, of course.
I'm a veteran, so I know how to win the 3-minute round without fighting 3 minutes. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the thing. So, if you... And I think it's just people seeing veteran tricks they don't usually see. You know, I think that's more the wolf factor. It wasn't anything of me beating the shit out of everybody. I'm not trying to put it that way, but it's just... I think people see different tactics, different techniques than they're used to seeing, and they're like, whoa, you know, like, it's a totally different thing, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't even about, like, because I'm not in shape enough to actually go beat the shit out of everybody right now, you know what I'm saying? But it's more so how I can frustrate you doing so little work when you can do so much work, you know what I'm saying? I look bad, I can do, you know, that comes from veteran savviness, also being an ex-world champion, all this stuff, and that's what I mean about, you walk into any gym, and you just, what shouldn't be a wall factor when any champion walks into the gym.
Yeah, I know even you, in out of shape, you will find times to punch when it's really important, and find times to rest when it's really important, and when you're resting, the other guy doesn't know you're resting. You know, it's like, that's some of the caginess and the veteranness and the IQ.
And then, of course, you have to make your counterpunching count, because if you make your counterpunches count, the other guy is going to get less aggressive. And so when the other guy's less aggressive, then you have more time to rest. You don't have to fight as much.
I'm watching you spar Mike Ruiz right now.
Mike Ruiz.
Wow, that's old.
2011.
Remember Mike Ruiz? They were filming a thing on him, and they had like a crew in the Westbury gym.
Where do we spar, Westbury?
That was a long time ago.
Yeah. Oh shit, 2011. That means I hadn't even won my second world title yet.
Right.
Boom. But yeah.
I got to take a piss.
What?
Again? Come on.
We don't have time. We got another show coming.
I know.
We're gonna keep. You know what?
Can we tell Corona to make like non piss activating beer? Like, can we do this?
I'll tell you what. I'm gonna go through the Showtime fights with Paulie.
Go ahead.
You got a problem with that?
No.
All right.
Fuck you both.
All right. Good. Boy, I'm looking at the fights that you're gonna be calling. I believe the Charlos and Arislandi Lara. You want to talk about those fights a little bit and what your expectations are?
Arislandi Lara and Martirosyan is a fight that already happened. I believe it happened a couple of years ago, 2-3 years ago, and it was a draw. So this is a rematch. And one day they got on the scene about Vannis never looks impressive. He's one of those guys, he just doesn't look super impressive, but he's got some pretty heavy hands, and there's a bit of an awkwardness about him. He knows how to put the package together. No matter what it is, you may look at Vannis and say, he's pretty ordinary, but he's been around for a long enough period of time that now you have to understand that, okay, this guy's not that ordinary, because somebody ordinary would have been gone already. You know what I'm saying? So Vannis is I feel like he doesn't get the credit he deserves a lot of times. He's got a great chin. A tough Armenian fighter. You know, we for anybody from that part of it, I know anybody from that part of the world, they're very stern men. Like, they're just macho people, and you know, they won't give in and whatnot. And Vannis has that in him, of course. And you know, he's a very capable fighter as well. Obviously, he's an ex-Olympian and whatnot. But sometimes you watch him and there's nothing of the flash that gets you thinking like, oh, this guy's unbelievable. So you start to kind of sleep on him. But you know, Vannis is a guy you can't really sleep on, because he's still here through all these years, and if he was so ordinary as sometimes you might think he is, he wouldn't still be here. He's competing at a high level. He's got the main event yet again on Saturday night against Arislandi Lara, a guy who probably most people would have thought would have beat him easy a few years back. And so I believe some people did think that he won the fight, but it was competitive enough to where, I guess, you know, it was a draw. And so, again, he'll make you look worse than you might think. He's got a heavy right hand, a big right hand that extends it long so that, you know, you're not really out of range of it when you think you are out of range of it. I think it's a good fight. I'm really curious to see this fight. I think it's a good fight. Bonus and Lara too, and I look forward to calling it and being a part of the event, you know.
And for those who don't know, Lara fought a very competitive. Way to go, Pete! Slamming the door, messing up our whole show. Way to go, Arislandi Lara fought a very competitive fight against Canelo Alvarez a couple of years ago. Yeah. It was a very close fight. So he's a real good fighter.
That, a fight that some people believe Lara could have won, could have got that decision. You know, it was that close. So. You know, this is going to be a good main event Saturday, regardless. You know, like I said, I would have loved to be able to call Deontay and Povetkin as well. We would have had a much sicker lineup of boxing. So now we're missing one fight, but this is this card here in Vegas is still going to be fun.
All right, anyone want to talk about the Charlos?
We got the Charlo brothers. Jermall Charlo defending the IBF junior middleweight title against Austin Trout. You know, Austin, people as another guy, people are starting to sleep on because okay, maybe he hasn't. Had the big winner, or he's not enough, and the momentum isn't riding as high on him for now as when it was when he beat Cotto and when he had that competitive loss to Canelo Alvarez. You know, but people, there's sometimes in a boxing career there's highs and lows, and Trout is a capable guy himself. He's a southpaw, he's a savvy boxer, and of course Jermall Charlo is one of the best young fighters in boxing. He's a world champion. Dynamite, both those brothers have dynamite jabs. I love the way they use their jab to set up their offense. Smooth boxing. I really like this fight. From a boxing purist perspective, I really like Charlo versus Trout. And it's going to be a good fight. And then, you know, Jermall Charlo, his identical twin brother, is fighting for the vacant WBC junior middleweight title. The title is vacant, but when Canelo Alvarez obviously moved up in weight to win the middleweight title. So this vacant title is being fought for now. It's being fought for between Jermall Charlo and John Jackson. John Jackson, I can remember seeing Julian Jackson's son. There's Julius and there's John Jackson. There's Julian Jackson, the ex-middleweight world champion of the 90s. His son, Julian Jackson, the father, might be the hardest puncher I've ever seen in boxing. No joke, might be literally the hardest puncher I've ever seen. But John is both his sons can punch pretty well, not like their father, but then again, who can? But John is a pretty good fighter. I remember seeing John fighting Andy Lee for the WBO middleweight title on the Cotto Martinez card, and he was dicing Andy Lee up, just beating him.
Oh, shit. That's him?
And then he gets knocked out cold with a shot.
The right hook. From
Andy Lee, yes. So John Jackson is back. He's trying to make another attempt at a world title. I guess he dropped in weight to junior middleweight. That fight was at middleweight. And we'll see. Well, he's got a very tough proposition in front of him because Jermall Charlo, like his brother Jermall, very good boxer, smooth boxing, jabber, sets up his offense nice, good balance. Both of these guys are trained by Ronnie Shields. Both of these guys are very well schooled. Actually, one of them isn't with Ronnie anymore. Actually, Jermall, I believe, is with Errol Spence's trainer now. I forget his name. If we got the fact checker, Seth, if you can find this one on the internet, we'll train Errol Spence. I believe that's the same trainer is training. He's training Jermall
Charlo. Yeah. From
I
Texas.
Know Errol's trainer's name. I just forget his name. He's a quiet guy. Really good.
Yeah,
guy.
No, you like Errol's trainer. It's the father and
Derek
and
James.
The guy. Derek James.
Yeah, Derek James. Yeah, I believe Jermall was training with Derek James. But Ronnie still has a busy night. He's got Jermall and he's got Arislandi Lara. She's got back-to-back fights there as well. So it's a good card. A good card overall, you know. And then let's not forget, there's another card over in the UK. They actually called me to work this card, but, of course, I've got to give Showtime priority. David Hayes fighting another fight on his, I guess you'd call it a comeback, you know.
Haymaker.
Who's the guy he's fighting, guys?
Arnold Jarajaj. Jarajaj.
So it's a Haymaker card on a Haymaker Promotions. I would have loved to. You know, I always love to go to the UK. I would have loved to be able to go to the UK and call David's fight and just seeing the fans and mingle with the fans and whatnot. Always a good time over there, but unfortunately wound up on the same night as did a Showtime broadcast, and anytime when there's a Showtime broadcast, I have to give them the priority first. But, you know, good luck to the Haymaker. I hope to see him in a big fight after this. They said Shannon Briggs is also on the undercard, and if he wins, it might be Haber or Shannon Briggs, which would be interesting.
Hey. Well, they're trying to get Shannon Briggs an opponent. I think what originally they had planned out, the guy pulled out or whatever.
Did he? So. Here it says Jakov Gospic. Is he the guy pulled out?
I believe so, yeah.
All right. Now, so now Shannon might not even fight?
Yeah, well, he's been training all a while. He's been in London. He shows up everywhere. Yeah, I follow David Haye on Instagram, and you see, like, they'll be talking to Shannon Briggs, and he's just, like, filming him and goes, I can't wait to knock this guy out.
That's great.
So David is putting his promoter hat on, so to speak, and allowing Shannon to be on the show, and if he gets a win, then maybe David Haye will knock him out, he said. That's like when Shannon Briggs showed up and he was like, let's go, champ! Let's go, champ! Come on, Haye! Who you fighting, Haye? You should be fighting me! And he's like, Shannon, have you got your medicals checked out?
Have you written a will?
Yeah, if you've got your medicals checked out and we could talk about it.
Also says, what do you guys think? You think Canelo and Golovkin's going to happen
this
year?
I just heard Oscar De La Hoya saying that the fight's not going to happen this year. Oh, I mean, what the
surprise?
No, but that's what I'm saying. Stupid. It's like, you know, at a certain point, you know, and people are right when they say, as a promoter, why would you put him in with GGG? I get it, you know, business wise, but
it's not like his career will be over if he loses the fight.
No, but
he can still go to one. He can still do other things.
He would still have lost two of the biggest fights of his career.
You can't keep letting the star grow. The star would have stopped growing. You know,
wait a second, guys. Oscar De La Hoya was a pretty big star. He lost plenty of fights. And he kept getting big fights. So Canelo, I think, is that big and that popular. Where it's like,
you got to still rebuild him. Let's not forget.
Right.
After La Hoya lost to Billy Trinidad, and then he had to go fight Darryl Coley. You know what I'm saying? And he lost to Shane Mosley, and he had to go fight, I don't know who.
For Shane again.
Stikir Totsia.
Yeah, you end up taking lesser fights. You have to go through the rebuilding stage. And, of course, you know, it stunts the growth of the star. You might still be a star, but it'll stunt the star power. You know, you keep winning, the star power continues to always grow. It's a weird thing. It's a weird phenomenon. But as you can see, Floyd Mayweather never lost, and he started reaching hundreds of millions of dollars in purses, you know. So, you know, eventually guys always get beat, so they never reach it that high. You know, the star can never stop growing if you keep letting it win. So of course, I believe there's no rush to fight Golovkin. I would love to see the fight as a fan. But, you know, come on. But anybody with a brain in their head could have seen that this fight wasn't going to happen this year. You're lucky if this fight happens next year. But anybody with a brain in their head could have seen this fight didn't happen this year, you know?
Paulie, we gotta cut the show short.
Oh, yeah, he's cutting the show short. He let Jadakiss and the Locks go over like 20 minutes.
I let him.
Why'd you do that? You were scared.
Oh, yeah,
you know Jadakiss would have fucking shot your ass.
Probably. Probably, but I think we got a full show.
Right. I'll be back to the JJ. He's one of my favorite rappers.
Hey, we got an hour show, and we got a quality show, and we appreciate you taking the time, Paulie, out of your Miami schedule.
What about me?
And next week, I'll be back in New York. I'll be in the studio.
Good.
You appreciate him sitting on the phone in his condo looking at the beach and
I don't
hot
appreciate
naked
you.
Chicks, but you don't appreciate me leaving work and coming here, right?
You're happy to leave work, first of all. You're drinking free beer, and you're yelling at me, you son of a bitch.
Look at believe
that.
This shit.
I sense some tension in the world.
Come on, fuck you, man.
All right, sounds good. I love you, man.
All right. Well.
Oh, you know, listen. May 28th is my bachelor party. Before we go,
and that's when Shane Mosley's gonna be the world champ again. Same day.
Fuck Shane Mosley.
he's fine for the interim title. What
yes.
World
you
champ?
Shut up.
Go ahead.
May 28th, we're gonna start at VDP. Giovanni Bottocci was here. We're going to be at VDP. We're going to watch the Champions League, Atletico versus Real Madrid, the derby.
And you're inviting all the people listeners there?
Yes. Then at night, we're going to Vivid. We're going to make this thing big. It's going to be huge.
Like Donald Trump said, it's going to be tremendous.
It's going to be tremendous. It's going to be a party. It's going to be a great party.
We're going to make Pete great
again.
We're going
to have a lot of fun.
It's going to be a great party. We're going to have a lot of fun.
Yeah. We're going to have a big party, like the wall, you know. And Vivid's going to pay for the party. So we're gonna have a big party.
Nice.
All right.
Thanks, Vivid.
Charlie Castro, we see you.
Shout out to Charlie Castro at Vivid.
So hi, gentlemen.
Pete's crazy bachelor party Saturday night at Vivid.
Come through. Show some love. We'll get naked. We'll
and
blow
of course,
each
other. If you guys want to come watch the Champions League, we'll be watching it over at Via de la Pace. Via de la Pace. It's on East 7th Street and 2nd Avenue. East 7th Street is the address, but it's the cross street at 2nd Avenue.
We'll see you there, guys.
We'll be there, and we'll be watching the Champions League.
All right, Paulie. Safe travels, Paulie.
It's Atletico. I'm rooting for Simeone, guys. I'm sick of the same teams winning this tournament. I'm
not Cristiano, bitch.
Safe travels, Paulie. We'll see you next week in the studio.
Boom. All right, let's not forget, you know, Euro 2016 is coming around the corner.
Yes.
Copa America, the Centenario is coming up.
Let's talk about it on Twitter.
All right.
Gotta go.
All right, guys.
Take care.
Over and out.
See ya.
See you later.
Ciao.